I realize that this morning's message might have been a little challenging for some people. At the same time, I'm not too concerned about that. You know, I don't sit around and think, okay, what's the next controversial thing I could preach? That's not it. But what happens is this. We, as Christians, we get so influenced by the world, and sometimes it's not sin, but we get so influenced that we begin to drift over into it. You know, I was watching, you may not know this, but Terry McAlmon and his wife Liz have a live question and answer session every Saturday morning for 1 hour. People can log on and ask questions. They type in the questions, and then Terry and Liz go through and try to give answers. And some of the questions, I didn't know he was doing this until I happened upon it, and I saw it after the fact, because after they do it live, then it's posted, the recording is posted there at Facebook. One of the things that came up more than once had to do with him leading worship, how you write your songs, and how does God give them to you, and this, that, and the other. One of the things that he said, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember every single word that he mentioned, but when it came to praise and worship, and when it came to like songs that, say, worship leaders write, he gave a... You could have listened to it and just passed right on by and not caught what he was saying. But he said, in essence, to stay away from secular music because it will subconsciously influence the songs that you write for church. And then what is done in church starts sounding like the world. Now, I don't know how much you've watched on YouTube of church services here and there. You had better believe that what he said was true. Now, those weren't his exact words, but that was the message that he was giving. In other words, what he was saying is, let Christian music, I guess is a way to put it, be your influence. And even some Christian music nowadays, you know, theologically, it's way off. And, you know, it just sounds, okay, let me put it like this. If I'm listening to a praise song, and you can have whatever you think you have to have, but when I'm listening to a praise song, I don't need a 20-second guitar solo to emphasize the song. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because that takes away from the song. Now, people defend it and say, well, you know, it's worshiping on your instrument. Call it whatever you want. And I'm not some old fogey that, well, you just don't like it. Yeah, I do. I'm not going to tell you what I like, but I do. You don't need it. I mean, it just, what's the purpose? If the purpose is to praise God, and if you're up on the platform and it's not a concert, if it's supposed to be a worship service, then if you're up here, you're supposed to be facilitating worship for the entire congregation. That's just the way it is. The world sometimes has too much of an influence on us, and that includes that example that, you know, the Lord ministered to Candy Flint, that really ministered to me, that I passed on to you about electronic devices, your electronic Bible, and the example that that sets. How that sets a terrible example for kids because they don't know the difference. They're given an electronic device to keep them occupied. Another way to say that, in part, is to keep them distracted. But I understand, you know, kids, they've got a lot of energy. You know, when I was growing up, Mom and Dad, I'm sure they gave me a coloring book and crayons, okay? But when they're playing with their electronic device, they're playing games, and then they see mommy and daddy and other people in the congregation doing the same thing. They don't know if you're playing or not. Now see, when I was growing up and I had my crayons and my coloring book, I knew there was a difference between what I was doing. I didn't see the adults with their coloring book and their Crayolas, you know, color. No, I understood. And that's supposed to be the example we set. And, you know, the same thing, like I mentioned, with new converts, people that have never been in church, if they walk in, say, in the middle of the sermon or something, and they see everybody in the congregation or the majority of the people on a device, they don't know. They have no clue. And so, when we have the book in our hand, that's sending a message. When we carry it as parents, or, you know, even if you don't have kids, when we are seen carrying a Bible into church and then back out to church, that's sending a message that this is the Word of God and it means something to me. It's important to have it with me, to carry it with me into church and to take it with me back home again. You're setting an example for people. Now, I'm not saying that using an electronic Bible is the wrong thing. Sometimes it's a very convenient thing if you're traveling, you know, what have you. But even at home, you know, for parents, if you've got little kids and they see you on the couch, you're reading the Bible, but they're over there playing, you know, whatever game is on their device and they see you, how do they know what you're doing? How do they know that you're not over there on the couch playing a game or doing social media while they're over there on the floor playing their game? If we're going to be that remnant bunch for the Lord, sometimes we have to make what nowadays might be called an inconvenient decision. You know, well, it's so much easier to use my electronic Bible. I understand. I'm not saying they're wrong. Let me put it like this. Use wisdom when you use them, considering the example that you're setting for other people. And, you know, Jesus, well, and the Bible says that the gospel is going to be an offense. Well, I can tell you what else is going to be an offense. The Bible. The Bible is an offense to a lot of people. And they see you reading a book, you know, some people, if they come over to your house and you just have this on a table where they can see it, they're going to think you're weird. Oh, are you one of those religious people? Yeah, I'm very religious. Would you like to be religious too? It's all a matter of sitting back and reevaluating what we do and thinking hard about our decisions and the example that we're setting for other people. You know, come ye out from among them. We're supposed to be different. Does this mean that you have to get rid of your electronic Bibles? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I know that there have been times when, like, if you're on an airplane, then it is sometimes so much more convenient just to use an electronic Bible because you can be all squished up there in the seat. I get it, but the person next to you, they're probably going to see what you're doing, and they're going to see that, you know, you're not reading science fiction. They're going to see you've got your Bible out. Anyway, I'm not on some kind of a soapbox. What I'm trying to do is to help us understand that if we're going deeper into God, there are things that really do need to change in our lives. And sometimes those things may seem very insignificant, but they're very meaningful when it comes to, you know, our testimony. And if you don't have a Bible, which pretty much everybody here does, but these Bibles in the pews, see, they were donated. And if you don't have a Bible and you see one in here that you like, take it. I'm serious. You're not stealing. It's here for this purpose, for people that don't have a Bible. So, you know, be encouraged with this. And, you know, tonight, I had a lesson, but God kind of rearranged it because of the length of the praise and worship, which is fine. You know, I don't have a problem with that. I really want God to do what he wants. And to praise and worship was a needful thing. I mean, there were some people here tonight, you really got ministered to, here and watching, because of the praise and worship, because of the presence of God. So the lesson, I mean, the title for tonight is changing. Now, you don't know what the title was supposed to be, but the people back there at the sound booth and the audio booth, they know what it was supposed to be. It's changing. The new title is this, You Who Have Ears to Hear. That's the title for tonight. Now, what I'm going to be doing is reading to you one of the prophecies that came forth out of Pastor Bronk's church down in Immokalee. I didn't get any of these printed to pass out, but hopefully maybe next week I can have that done, have all of them printed out for you. But I want you to listen to this. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say, says the Lord. For many will be dull in their hearing, not having ears to hear because of the layers of flesh that still surround and abate and hold back the strength of the Spirit. But I say unto you, that those who have ears to hear, I have given you a spirit inside of you, and I am not speaking particularly of the Holy Spirit at this time, but I have given you a spirit to conquer your world and to conquer your flesh from the very beginning, to stand without argument head and shoulders above the domination of the flesh, to cast these things out and not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. This was the first measure, but this is not where I left you. I did not leave you to live the rest of your existence with your joy only in your ability to conquer sin. I have a much greater calling beyond that for you. For once you understand that you could conquer that person and live above in righteousness, I have asked you to come apart and conquer the world through you. And for this, you will need that Spirit that comes by power to you through strength and through fire and through purging, says the Spirit of grace. My Spirit comes to burn up the last of anything left beyond the entrance into my kingdom. My Spirit comes, my Holy Ghost comes to offer to each one of you the free will choice of the whipping post, where, as a father, through my Spirit, I will scourge away the remaining of anything left that has any effect upon you following me in the fullness of what I have asked you to do. Do not be mistaken. Do not let arguments arise in your heart and mind to delude the message of what I speak to you. I gave you the power at the very entrance of salvation to conquer those things that destroy the image, which you call killer or deal-breaker sins. That was done from the very moment of conception. But I am asking those of you who will hear my voice and purge yourself through prayer and fasting and giving of thanks to come away with me into another level. Why would you rejoice all your life as to make it the only and the center part of your life that you are able to conquer your flesh? That to me was the beginning. I am asking you to go forth and to conquer a world around you and to conquer your city through fastings and prayers and to bring forth and to destroy the last part of anything in you that is complacent toward these things, that is indifferent toward these things. For whosoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says the Spirit of grace. Many, many will think often, but you lean heavily upon us, Lord. You lean heavily upon us from the pulpit, and you lean heavily upon us from instruction. But has not my word said that as many as I love, that I will chasten, and as many as will prune themselves and go through the fire, that I will likewise prune them again and again and again? Do not be ignorant of this understanding, that there are not many in the earth at this present time who have turned aside to offer their bodies a living sacrifice. When I say not many, I am not talking about that there are just a few in number. I am talking about as in the proportionate of the church, and especially the church in modern America. There are not many in proportion to that church who have turned aside to seek my face and cry out and abandon their flesh and abandon their world and abandon their aspirations and abandon the self-exalted and self-expressed life. I cannot make you do this. I will not make you do this. And this does not negate your coming to me at the end of your life and salvation and receiving whatever reward is available. But whoever will lay down their life and reap a great harvest in this life, for I will lay my hand upon you, and your exaltation will be to do the works that my first begotten did. It will become natural and will become a flow to you and through you, says the Spirit of grace. You will not have time for arguments. Doctrine will be of the utmost importance, but debates, speculations, theories, and all kinds of endless chatter will not be of any necessity. You will not have the time. You will walk past it to heal another and to raise another. Become deafened to the rhetoric of the church. Become deafened to the rhetoric of even some of your family members. For many who know me as in sonship do not know me in intimacy. My words are afar off to them, though I have a place in their heart as in salvation. Yet I cannot turn them to the right hand or to the left. I cannot turn them as I will, says the Spirit of grace. But those of you who have ears to hear, continue in a straightforward motion. Listen always, obey always, be quick to repent, for I do not have many in proportion, but the ones that I have will bring about this outpouring, says the Spirit of grace. I mean, this goes right along with the things that the Lord has shared here recently in several of these messages. It comes down to us, what we want and what we'll do. And that's one of the reasons why that we have these the 30 minutes of prayer on these Sunday nights. It's because it's a time, really, for us to go through additional purging. We have to humble ourselves, and we have to grab a hold of our emotions, because a lot of people, they would find it far more, what's the right word? Far more sensory satisfying to hear a sermon than to pray. And that's a reason why some people may not come back on Sunday nights. I mean, I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying it sure may be. This whole thing of prayer, this is the key. Sermons, that's just information. But when we seek God, when we are serious in our prayers, then God moves in us. Even when we don't see it, He's working. Even when we don't feel it, He's working. And as we spend this next 30 minutes in prayer, I encourage you to remember to be praying about the upcoming election. It's not just about the presidency. It's about elections at every level, from presidency down to dog catcher or whatever elections are held throughout this nation. And then also continue to pray about this, all these riots and so forth. You know, Satan is moving, and he's doing everything he can to keep those who want to uphold a righteous standard from being elected, from president all the way down to local commissioner. We need to be praying against this. We need to go before God in the repentance and so forth. So we're going to begin our 30 minutes of prayer now, and then at the end of the 30 minutes I'll come up and we'll close off in prayer, and we'll just all go home rejoicing in the Lord. Amen.